That was beautiful. You did a beautiful job with that. Very grateful. The scripture passage that stands before us today is, it's a rather long reading, but I would encourage you to follow along with me. It's one of my favorite stories. It's a post-Easter story. It's after Jesus' resurrection, and it's one of those interesting, quirky sorts of stories that you read it and you wonder, well, I wouldn't have been that way. I would not have been, you know, not recognizing Jesus as we walked along. But I don't know. I don't know that would be true. I have a hunch that if we were there at that time, we would be much like those two folks who walked alongside Jesus on that first day. From the Gospel according to Luke, in the 24th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Then they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. I'm told that it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I've never been there. I can't tell you for sure that it is, but that's a pretty good walk. I would say fairly long stretch of being able to have a good conversation among the three people walking along the road that day. We don't know who the two people were. One was Cleopas, but we don't know who the other person was. Oftentimes, we have scholars who assume that it was two men who were disciples of Jesus, but I have a hunch more than likely it was a husband and a wife walking along together, heading home after a terrible weekend in Jerusalem. But they had all this time in the world to talk and to consider and to ponder everything that was happening, all that they had heard, all that they had seen, all that they had hoped for, all how their hopes were dashed and their expectations were stolen from them. and they lamented all this as they walked along, and then Jesus comes along and shares the scriptures, bringing things to light with them. A long walk is a good time to have a good conversation. Last December, my family coerced me, in other words, they forced me, into doing the tacky light walk. I would not say it was a run. It was not a run for me. I believe it's a 6 kilometer walk through the neighborhoods in that section of Midlothian. And we're doing really good together. All of us were walking together, the extended family. And we came to a stop where they had cookies and they had drinks there. And now normally, you know me well enough to know that you don't have to offer twice when there's cookies involved. But as we were stopping at that little rest area that they had, I looked to the road ahead of me and I saw that there was a pretty steep series of hills that, at my age and at my condition, they were steep. To most all of you, they weren't that steep. But for me, they looked awfully steep. And so I said to Debbie, I said, if I stop now and I have to start and go up those hills, I'm not going to make it. So I'm just going to keep going. I'll walk slow and all of you can catch up with me. Well, the rest of the family, being starzers, took longer with the cookies than allowed them to catch up with me. So I just kept plodding along, just putting one foot in front of the other, trying to figure out how long this thing was going to take. And as I was walking along, it was kind of interesting because I got to be a part of all these other groups that were walking along, and some of them welcomed me in, and some of them kept a faster pace than me and just passed me by. But in particular, one couple that was a little bit behind me was having a interesting conversation, shall we say. I almost thought that I had to turn around and go into my pastoral care mode with the two of them. And as we were walking along, they had marked, oddly enough, it was a 6 kilometer walk, but they had marked the progress in miles. And so you would see 1 mile marker, you'd see the 2 mile marker, and then 3 mile marker, and so on. And as we got to the 3 mile marker, the couple behind me, I think she had had enough. And she turns to her husband and she says, "That's only 3. We got 6. We're only halfway. You told me this was going to be an easy walk. And we're not even halfway done yet." And so I picked up my pace to get ahead of them and stay out of that conversation. And I just thought it was interesting because I mean, there was, you know, part of me wanted to turn around and say to the woman, "That's 3 miles. That's not 3 kilometers. 3 miles is a lot more than 3 kilometers. You're more than halfway. You can do this." I wanted, but I didn't. I didn't step into it. I kept moving. I stayed out of that conversation. But all I could think about was the fact that this woman was in a miserable mood, doing something that she didn't want to do. She got talked into it, obviously, by her husband, and she was just going to be miserable. And if she thought that she was less than halfway done, then she was less than halfway done. It didn't matter what the facts of the situation were. She had her mind made up. Her eyes were set in a certain place, and that's all that she could see. It was a miserable walk. It was too long. She didn't want to do it, and that was the end of the discussion. The truth had little or nothing to do with what was happening on that walk. Well, I think that in some ways, what was happening with the two folks, and again, I'm assuming that it was a husband and wife walking home together, they were lamenting what they saw, lamenting what had happened, just heartfallen about the situation. The scriptures tell us, Luke tells us that they were downfallen, they were crestfallen, that their eyes were downcast. You know how that is when things are not going the way that you want them to go, and you're really feeling out of things, and you just kind of walk with the head down and just kind of put one foot in front of the other. Well, that's how these two people were walking. Their spirits were broken by what happened on that Good Friday, just 3 days before. All their hopes and dreams that they had pegged on Jesus were quashed, were stolen from them, were taken away from them, and everything that they had expected to be the future was now gone from them. And then Jesus comes along and is walking with them and talking with them, and you know, I do think that our first instinct is to say that oh, I would have recognized him right away. I would have known it was Jesus. I don't know how they could have missed that. And you know, but I think when you're in that kind of a spirit within you, you can't see that which is obvious. You know, there's that old saying, the difficult we can handle, the obvious takes a little bit longer. And this would have been one of those cases for that couple, that this was a situation where they were handling the difficult, but the obvious, that which was right in front of them, took a lot longer for them to see, because their eyes were blinded by what they were feeling, by what they were experiencing, by that sense of loss that they were dealing with in their hearts and their lives. And Jesus was talking with them, sharing with them the scriptures, and I'm sure that as they later reflected, their hearts were warmed within themselves. They were feeling strongly moved by the scriptures that Jesus was sharing with them, and they were feeling something special was happening in their hearts as they were listening to Jesus. But it wasn't until they got to the house, and it wasn't until Jesus sat down with them and began to share a meal with them, a simple meal. Obviously, they didn't have time to prepare anything fancy, anything special. It was probably just some bread, maybe some fruits, maybe some vegetables that were fresh for that season. We don't know. But it was just a simple meal, and Jesus took the bread, and as he broke it and he was giving it to them, then it dawned on them. The whole picture fell together, and they began to see that God was doing something good, that God had indeed conquered death. God had indeed brought Jesus back to life, brought Jesus back to be among them. It was in the common and the ordinary. The very simple act of sharing a loaf of bread one with another, that they began to see the work that God was doing. I think that in this season that all of us are going through, that it's very easy for us to have those downcast eyes. It'd be very easy for us to slip into the mode of thinking only about what we have lost, only thinking about what we are missing, only thinking about the lost opportunities. It's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to get so caught up in the negative and to look at numbers and statistics and to see how many people are afflicted with this COVID-19 and how many people have died and to wonder whether the next one is going to be me. It's easy to get caught up in that way of thinking and to find our eyes suddenly downcast, and we're plodding along, just getting through one day at a time, one hour at a time, living our lives as if all hope has been stolen from us. It's an easy trap to fall into. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus fell into it. Many of us can just as easily fall into that trap. And the beauty of what I want to tell you is its simplicity. You see, it was in the simple act of a common meal that their eyes were opened and they were able to see the work that God was doing. I think that if we have eyes that are open, and if we just look around a little bit, if we just ponder and consider and look at some of the simplest things, small acts of kindness, the beauty of a new day, the ability to have a meal on the table and a roof over our heads. Maybe it's in those simplest of things that Jesus will reveal himself to us, and we'll see how he is with us and for us and walking alongside us as we go through this time of trial and tribulation with this COVID-19. Pick up your eyes. Don't be downcast. Look and see what God is doing. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that God is doing some wonderful things in the life of the church, in the life of his people, in the life of this world, through this time of trial and tribulation for us. God is still active and present. And we'll see it if we look in the most common of things. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we hate to admit it, but we are oftentimes a lot like that couple walking along on the road to Emmaus. We don't see the obvious that is right in front of us. We don't look and see the good things that you are doing. For we know that you are a God of grace and mercy and love, and that you have that extraordinary ability to bring good out of even the worst of situations. Help us, O Lord, to look in the simple, the ordinary, and the common, to see how it is that you are working and moving in this world. Help us to experience your presence with us as you walk alongside us every step along the way, this day and every day of our lives. We pray that you would open our eyes in the name of Jesus. Amen.